Hello and welcome to episode 134 of The Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. My name is Ben, and I'm here with Derek.
Hello.
So what are we doing today, Ben?
Okay, a few episodes ago, specifically episode 116, I made a comment about 3.5 minutes in that you've essentially ceded all ground to me in the tech neutrality argument that is fairly well known by any longtime listener of the show.
Uh-huh.
Because you've changed your argument over time. And you, in our Trello board, you added a card a while back, actually, after that episode, that said, Derek has a bone to pick with Ben.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so this is Derek picking that bone with Ben. That's this episode. We're here. We finally made it.
That's right. After long last.
It's like in those old silent films with, you know, the French Elphine at the end. This is the Elphine of the tech neutrality conversation.
Yeah, unlikely, but let's get into it and see what happens.
All right, so in order to prepare for this conversation, I went back and I have chronicled now the entire, to my knowledge, every occasion in which we've spoken about this issue.
Oh my goodness. How much audio did you listen to today?
Okay, wait, let me be clear. I don't mean like any, you know, subtle jab, because that would have taken forever. I would have listened to the entire backlog.
That's basically everything since it got brought up.
Right. I just mean the episodes where we talked about it at length. So I listened to the end of episode 39, where it first came up. Episode 40, which was called Tech Neutrality, in which we first talked about it at length in a theology from the headlines is what we used to call it. Then episode 53, in which the topic naturally segued back into it. And then episode 81, which was really long and we did with Alex and Chris from The Rugged Marriage. And then I listened to that last clip that I just referred to in episode 116. I don't know how much total audio that is, but what I did, so that I don't repeat myself or contradict myself, is I have a note. This is my surprise that I was talking about before the show.
Oh, boy.
I have a note.
Yes, Ben texted me before, like about an hour ago, saying, I have a surprise for you. I'm like, oh, boy, oh, boy.
And this is it. I have a note on my phone in my notes app, which I'm now looking at on my Mac,
mm-hmm.
which details every new main point in either direct quote or paraphrase format that either you or I has made this entire time.
Oh, my goodness. That's insane.
I would like to send that to you via Skype right now and hear your live reaction to it.
Just share the note with me. You can share it with Apple Notes.
Yes, that's true. Okay, I'll do that. This feels really weird, though. Did that work?
Well, hey, look at that. This is very comprehensive.
So I just want to read, this is really the only direct quote. The rest is me paraphrasing, I think, in as charitable a way as possible. But I just want to read you the comment that you made, I think verbatim, in episode 39, at the end of the episode, you said the following, Derek. And this is what started this entire chapter of our lives.
Uh-huh.
This topic that we can never escape. It all started like this. All technology can be good or bad, but it's not necessarily a question of good or evil. All technology can be good or evil, but it's never neutral. We always have to think about that technology in and of itself affects culture in a particular way. And then you gave an example of Gutenberg, printing press, and the iPhone. It can't possibly be neutral as a technology, and it's not necessarily good or bad. But we have to keep in mind that these things change our lives. We just want to make sure that they are changing them in the way that we want them to. Thinking critically about technology is part of redeeming technology. And yeah, that's just very important. So, you summarized, realizing that technology is not neutral suddenly changes the entire way you think about technology.
All right. I'm very happy that you are gracious to me and that there are not ums and ahs all over the place.
Oh, it took those out.
I'm sure it was. Boy, at episode 39, things were rough.
Yeah.
But yeah.
This is not an ad for episode 39. Please, listener, don't go back and listen to it. We will lose all credibility.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Man, and that was before I brought in the book, right?
That's right.
From the Garden of the City.
Because the next episode was when you brought in the book.
Number 40. Interesting. Well, cool.
Well, that's just the way that we got here. That's where we are. And mm-hmm. I listened to you say that. again afresh today, and I thought to myself, oh boy, here we go. This is all very confusing and scary and dark to me. It's a very familiar place, and I don't like it.
Oh my goodness. All right, so do we want to go through like what our positions were at the beginning and then kind of go into what our positions are now or how we would describe our positions now?
Well, I want to walk through every single proposition that you or I gave.
Okay.
In this note.
Okay. Oh boy. All right. You want to kick it off?
Oh boy. Maybe you just read your part and I'll read my part and let's see who sounds dumber.
Okay. Go ahead. So you start.
All right. So this is from episode 40, Tech Neutrality. And I said, essentially, sin requires agency.
And I said, technology is defined by utility.
And I said, technology is being anthropomorphized unhelpfully. Like we're talking about it like it's a human. Like the shovel hurts us because of the fall and the curse.
And then Tank brought up long-term usage, it and exposure to technology changes the way we think and look at the world. Which Tank tends to be on my side on this one, so yay Tank.
And then you agreed with Tank.
Yes, yes. Technology shapes our worldview in an unconscious way.
And you brought up a quote from the book from Dyer, who uses language as an example of that, in that language includes, which is one kind of technology, it includes genders, and it changes the way we perceive the object it refers to. So like bridges in some languages are feminine, and in other languages are masculine, and people tend to refer to them in different ways because of that. Or see them differently. And I made the point that our problem in this whole conversation is one of communication, specifically with the definition of the word neutral. Like, what do we mean by that? And it seems like you mean one thing and I might mean something different.
I said probably in agreement with you, yes, let's not be mindless consumers. Uncritical use leads quickly to sin.
And I brought up a passage that I've often returned to in this conversation, Matthew 15, where Jesus is talking about how it's out of our hearts flows evil desires, and I don't want this technology is not neutral, it has an influence on us thing to absolve us of our culpability in our sin.
And I said, of course, I agree, but sin's desire is for you and technology is made by us, which sounds a little weird out of context.
Yeah, do you remember when you referred to sin as a sneaky beep?
We actually got in trouble for that, I think.
I was paraphrasing for your sake on that one. And then Tank brought up that pornography proves that technology is not neutral. There are things that can only be used for evil.
And I said, but everything can be used for good because even the worst things show us how bad we are and how much we need God.
And that was the end of the unique propositions from that episode. Then we briefly touched on it in episode 53, Inanimate Milk, when we talked about if the new iPhone affects your Christian life, and we covered that two-word article, it doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
And you made the following point.
The new iPhone affects your life at least a little, even if you only know there's a new iPhone that you don't have.
You said that.
Did I? Man, I can't process that in my head.
It's a long sentence. And then I said, it's really all in how you use it, to be totally snarky.
All right. And then we have episode 81, which was the Rugged Marriage crossover, which we had Alex and Chris on to talk about the whole tech neutrality discussion, because they were also split on it. So we figured it'd be a fun discussion to have together. My first unique proposition was the shovel analogy was restated, which if you're not familiar with the shovel analogy, it's that the shovel works on you as much as you work on the shovel. The shovel blisters you, it hardens your muscles. Like as you use it, your body is changing.
And this was when I gave my 3 points. I think that episode was really clarifying in a lot of ways. I really, that was probably the best part of it. It was really long, but it's worth a re-listen if you're interested in this topic. But I said that technology is not sinful, it's not causative, and it's not accountable. And I went on to define all those.
Mm-hmm.
And we all agreed on a definition of technology, which I'll let you share.
Technology equals utility plus purpose plus innovation.
Everyone wanted to define technology as something that man creates in order to use to accomplish a certain goal, a purpose, and it's the repurposing of something that did something else, right? So like the example of the stick becoming a spear.
The stick already exists. I didn't create the stick, but I did in one sense create the spear because I made the stick into a spear. So I am now using the stick for a different purpose, and I've innovated from the stick's original purpose. I actually think that's the best summary I did in this whole note is technology equals utility plus purpose plus innovation.
Yeah, that's a really good way of summing it up.
Well, with that high note, I'll give my lowest low note, which is Alex then said, but come on, Ben, pornography. And I was like, yeah, you're right, Alex. And yeah, videos and photos aren't evil, though. And in the note I just wrote, Ben really whiffed on the porn question, which I think I did give a horrible response to that. Like, I later clarified in the episode that, of course, I think porn is bad. Like, we all agree on that. And so you agreed with me on that part.
And I don't quite remember. So I just agreed with your defense.
Yeah, you we were talking about how obviously the people involved are sinning, but the technology that they're using, like the pictures and the videos and the cameras and all that stuff, that's not really evil, although it's being used evilly, and you just agreed with that. Which a listener actually came along after that episode in the Slack and really helped me to think about this better. I don't think pornography should be considered technology. I think it should be considered content. And so it's just a different thing.
Well, the interesting thing, I'm just going to rabbit trail just a second, just to go off on this. The problem with the pornography thing is that the definition of pornography requires it to be sinful. So pornography would be, you know, portraying people having sex is bad outside of marriage. And all pornography is basically exclusively sex outside of marriage. Mm-hmm. Because when you're witnessing it, you are not.
You're participating.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Which my position then necessitates that I consider pornography something other than technology. Because I can't keep saying technology is neutral and say that pornography is technology because I don't think pornography is neutral. It's evil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I thought the content alternative was a good one.
And then, Ben, you continued with a few claims here.
Yeah, I said that technology is really, it is influential, to use your word, in that it's part of the circumstances we find ourselves in, which are always occasions for temptation to sin or opportunities for godliness. And my main point here is thinking about it in that way makes it so that I can't claim before God, technology made me do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my fault. Because the technology made me do it. Instead, it's an issue of my heart. It's an issue of the human heart. I had the evil desires, which caused me to do the evil thing.
Mm-hmm. And I asserted, but it has an influence, though, which I can hear that, you know, inflection in my mind, the way you have it written out.
And I went on to talk about how it's it doesn't cause, but it correlates. And I think I used the wrong word. I don't think it's correlative. I think I should have been saying that it's instrumental, which is something you brought up in the original episode 40, one perspective of what technology is. I do think it's, in a sense, instrumental, in the sense that it's the means by which we do good or evil. And that's why I've called it neutral.
Yes.
Because it can be used for either.
And then I said, technology can be either good or bad, but it is never neither.
Which is where we started. And that's a point I agree with.
And that my point is that it has a trajectory and an influence.
And then I did the whole thing in the right after the ad in that really long episode, I started talking about biblical counseling versus integrated counseling and made some interesting connections just because it happened to be the class I was taking at the time. And I'm just trying to be a good biblical counselor in the sense that, you know, the technology doesn't make you do it. It's just the occasion for your temptation.
And then in the Slack later, I don't know how this came up.
This was much later.
It was much
later. And
this
is what generated the comment on the most recent episode, 116.
Yes, yes. So I said, humans are very predictable and tend to do the same things as each other. Basically meaning that with technology, when you create a certain piece of technology and assume it's going to be adopted by, you know, a given number of people, you can assume that humans will respond to that in a particular way because humans are predictable and we tend to do,
things that can be deduced from, you know, the ways the technology can be used.
Which leads us to the last proposition in the document, that Derek has essentially ceded all ground to me in this argument because his argument's changing.
Okay, so...
all right, pick your bone, man.
All right. Actually, before we get into that, let's do a sponsor break. Our sponsor this week is Missionalware, your Reformed theology gift shop. Missionalware prints apparel, drinkware, and accessories with beautiful artwork of historical creeds, quotes, and faces of various reformers. And I always like to tell people, if you haven't been there recently, you should go check them out again, because they've undoubtedly got something new that you haven't seen yet. They've recently added more designs, more options for apparel. They've got stuff for your babies now, additional accessories like stamps for marking your books, or addressing envelopes, or bobbleheads, or a bunch of other things. You can go check them out on Missionalware. Missionalware's been making things since 2010, and they've grown an impressive library of designs and items that will appeal to any theologian. So to grab some apparel, drinkware, or accessories for yourself, or even just to browse their gorgeous designs, check them out at missionalware.com to get your lifestyle on mission to the glory of God. Thanks to Missionalware for sponsoring Tech Reformation. So during this whole conversation, I've been trying to clarify further and find more exact language of what I actually mean when I'm saying, you know, technology is not neutral, when John Dyer says technology is not neutral. And you keep insisting, like, especially when we get into like text chat in Slack, like, I will write out this huge paragraph of like, try to bring in all these examples, and you say, but humans are the ones doing the action. We are responsible for our own deeds. Like, yes, Ben, I know. You're not being very helpful. So trying to clarify and help it make sense in what you keep bringing up is important. I'm trying to connect the dots. And I think where the dots connect is that what I'm trying to say is that technology has an impact in that it will have a certain effect on a given percentage of people because humans respond in that way, which is important to realize when you're looking at, you know, a culture of people, you know, a whole nation of people. If you introduce smartphones, they're going to react in a way that's pretty predictable, probably. They're also going to react in some unpredictable ways. But, you know, after, you know, analysis after the fact, it, you know, there's good reasons that people react that way. That's what I'm trying to get at, that humans are still totally responsible for their actions, but technology has a notable impact on society as a whole because humans react in certain ways.
Yeah, so now let's go back to where we started.
Uh-huh.
Let's summarize briefly what we're both contending.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you this first. Given that summary, is there anything you would want to add? I mean, I know you've unpacked the last point quite a bit now, but mm-hmm. Is there anything I missed that's a substantial piece of your argument?
I don't think so. I think you've got everything pretty well down.
Okay, good. Good. That helps us move forward. And okay. So I want to, I think you think that I'm about to trap you, but I'm not trapping you as far as I know.
Okay. Phew.
If I could boil down my point, and I'll just use language that's already been said,
because
I think it's clear. My main contention is I cannot claim before God technology made me do it.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, technology is, as I've been saying, the occasion for, it's the circumstance in which I'm either tempted towards sin or I'm given an opportunity towards godliness.
Yeah. And you've also, there was also a thing that you said to me just randomly. It's, I don't remember when. You said something that you've kind of shifted your position to say that technology is good.
Yes.
So tell me about that.
Yeah. So I don't know if I want to say it's not neutral.
Uh-huh.
Because I still think it depends on what we mean by neutral.
Mm-hmm.
If, as my friend David said earlier today to me, if what we mean by neutral is that it's a moral agent that can itself do good or evil, well, then, of course, neither one of us thinks that it's neutral.
Right.
Because we don't think it's a moral agent.
Right,
so
exactly.
A lot depends on definitions here.
I would say even like self-thinking computers or computers with the illusion of being able to think for themselves are not moral agents in and of themselves.
Right, yeah. We both agree there. So a lot depends on definitions, but I think in one sense I could say, yeah, it's not neutral, it's good, because... And I heard, the reason I started thinking about this is because I listened to an episode of, I think, Culture Matters that Andy Crouch was on. And he was talking about how technology's good because it's part of God's creation. And God made everything good. Mm-hmm. And obviously the fall affected that. And so there are evil uses for the good things God made, we know. But I think that might be more consistent of me.
Hmm. I like it. That makes sense to me, absolutely. The desire to create technology is pretty much inbuilt into humans because humans have done it for ever since we've been created.
Well, yeah, we have to in order to fulfill the mandate of fill and subdue the earth.
Yeah, exactly.
Technology is required,
right? And actually, you probably could say that technology was exclusively good back before the fall, because humans were holy beings at that point, right? Is that right to say?
Yeah. Yeah. It depends on what you mean by holy. Sure. I think Adam was created with a righteous nature.
They were holy and happy. We'll go with the catechism. Yeah.
Cool.
Adam and Eve were holy and happy. I tell you what, listening to those songs really pays off when you're teaching your own kids. But with the fall, because technology is an outworking of humanity, right? Technology has to be, you know, created by humans to accomplish a certain task. What was the definition? Utility plus purpose plus innovation. So humans create... Humans innovate in order to accomplish a purpose, and that there's a use for it. So because of that, we are almost imaging ourselves on what we create. And because we are now fallen, we will image bad things onto the things that we create too. That's just the nature of technology being an outworking of humanity. And so this is why I like... Because people often talk about technology as, oh, technology is neutral. It's all in how you use it. I think it's helpful to realize that the creation of this stuff comes out of humanity too, and that humans are fallen while having, you know, common grace, even if they aren't Christians, you know, so they may desire to do good. There's also bad involved there as well. So there is this tension. There's this, you know, that when you create this technology, you really have to think critically about it because we are not perfect beings anymore.
Well, I definitely think it sounds more reformed to say technology is either good or bad and never neither, because there is no neutrality in the sense that Jesus says you're either with me or you're against me.
Mm-hmm.
So we either love God or we hate him. Where I get tripped up, though, in this conversation is obviously the way I use the technology is either good or evil. Mm-hmm. And if technology is defined by utility, then there is no separating those things. But I still want to say, when it comes down to, let's say, a camera that I hold in my hand,
mm-hmm.
I just want to say that's a good part of God's good creation.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a worthwhile statement. Like, I wouldn't say, oh, but Ben, I really need to clarify this with this and this and this and this. No, I think it's great to appreciate things as good and part of God's creation.
So what's your bone to pick with me then? Seems like we're doing a lot of agreeing.
Yeah, well, see, we've done a lot of agreeing from the beginning. Mostly it's been me agreeing with you, letting you know that I'm not off the deep end. but I do think we tend to agree on this one, if maybe, even though perhaps some of my wording may not have been as precise at the beginning. I would still stick by the technology is not neutral. statement. But obviously, if you want to make caveats, there's a ton of caveats to make and like clarifications that, yes, humans are responsible for their actions and all that stuff. So you would say that technology has an impact on culture, right? Like, I've heard you use that phrase before.
I would like to use the word influence.
Influence.
Because impact sounds too much like a youth ministry. Nobody knows what impact is, but we all want a lot of it.
That's right.
Impact.
So technology influences culture.
Yes. I think probably even more so, culture influences technology.
Oh, that too. Definitely.
But I could see how it's a vicious circle in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the culture we have... Yeah, maybe it'd be better said, technology influences, or technology shapes culture, but culture determines technology. So there's a break in the circle.
Oh, that's a good thought, actually. I like that. Because you have technologies that people will say are ahead of their time, or mm-hmm. are like too late, because...
like Betamax.
Yeah, or like Betamax was not bad for its time, if I recall. Yeah. It was just much more expensive, and VHS won out for whatever reasons. So culture will determine technology, in that VHS won out over Betamax because presumably VHS was much more used by the culture, so it wasn't worth making Betamax anymore. Or you can take a look at what was the little camera that was like a little handheld camcorder that was really popular right around the time that smartphones started becoming popular.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I don't know the name of it.
It was, yeah, but it's basically tanked now. Like there's no reason anybody wants them anymore. Because obviously smartphones take care of that much easier, and it's always in your pocket. And I feel like that was introduced right around the time that smartphones started becoming popular. So it had like a couple of years where it was really popular until smartphones started becoming like pervasive. And then it died. So it was like right at the tail end of when it really should have been invented. So in that way, culture determines technology, and yet technology will also influence culture, because you have, the smartphone that was introduced. I'm using the smartphone a lot just because it's the easiest landmark, for everything.
Yeah, I think one great example of technology shaping culture is like the App Store.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe social media is a great example as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have entire businesses that have been spun up, jobs that did not exist before these two things, like apps and social media. Hmm. And it changes the way, and I've agreed with you on this point from the beginning, I think, it changes the way that we perceive the world,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that we now are able to do things and think things that we never otherwise would have done or thought. Like, I think if you went back a couple hundred years in time and you told somebody, did you know that you can actually go across the world in just a couple of hours? They'd have been like, what are you talking about?
Because
mm-hmm. they had no idea that planes were going to be a thing.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm sure I have a very different mindset of geography than, you know, my Amish neighbors right down the street, because my Amish neighbors can only go in, I don't know, you know, a 5-mile radius in... you know, a couple of hours or what, I don't know how fast horses and buggies travel, but it takes them much longer to get places. So they are forced to live in a much smaller area, where I can, you know, go 10 miles, you know, over to my parents' house, like really quickly.
Yeah, man. The commute culture too, in terms of occupation, that you're able to live like an hour away from where you work because of cars.
Hmm.
Totally foreign, yeah. Until recently. Right. And with the invention of satellites and moon flight, we can tell that flat earthers are silly.
Which is really the important thing to come to
very
in
important,
this conversation.
Very, very important.
That's right. That's right.
I do stand by what I originally said at the beginning of the longest episode we did on this, which is we should abandon the word neutral. It is so unhelpful and unclear. And I don't even know. I think you still mean something different than what I mean by it. And it's just like we're talking past each other. Because
well,
we have different definitions.
So the reason that the terminology is powerful is because it's the same reason that John Piper uses the term, you know, Christian hedonism. Like, oh, what you think of as hedonism isn't the thing that John Piper means, but right. it's intriguing and it helps you like be fascinated to delve into the idea much more, which is why I think it's nice when you're getting pedantic and with people and, you know, really wanting to pick things apart, then maybe it's not helpful anymore. But yeah,
and
I get
Piper
what you're saying.
Has earned the social capital and teaching chops to be able to do provocative things like that. But us peons, the rest of the world, we become so provocative that it's just unclear and unhelpful.
If you would like to join us in the Slack to talk about this more or give us your comments, you can go to slack.techreformation.com.
It's been a while since we've asked for your help, and I'd like to solicit your help, listener. If you like this show, if you're still listening after all this time, tell someone about it. Recommend it to a friend who likes technology or theology or both.
Yeah.
And they will listen and it will help us and your life will be better.
Oh, 100%. We guarantee it, or else we give your money back.
Because it is more blessed to give than to receive.
That's right. This has been Tech Reformation.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. And I ain't looking back. No, I ain't looking back.